Leah, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so are we ready to get into your prologue for Chaos Theory?
Yes, a little nervous, a little excited.
Nah, there's nothing to be nervous about. There's only good things that ever happened in this city. Don't worry about it. You guys are the good police. You're here to solve the good crimes, like too much candy at the candy factory, or all the puppies got loose and someone's got to wrangle
them. We let the dogs out.
Yeah, that's going to happen probably. Before we get into the session proper and introduce your character to the audience, would you mind introducing yourself to the audience, where they can find you, what kind of content you make, and all the avenues through which they can get to know you better?
Yeah, so my name is Leah. I go by Chameleon with my name Leah in the middle, so Chameleahn. You can find me as Chameleon on pretty much every social media. I'm mostly on Instagram and TikTok. I've just recently started a YouTube. I am on Twitter X, but it's more for like either marketing or like shit posting. There's no in between. Otherwise, I mostly do cosplay. I'm very new to D&D by only a couple years. I've only played one campaign and one official one-shot. I've attempted two other one-shots years ago, but none of them ever finished. So I'm very new to this. I'm very excited to be new and learning about everything. Outside of cosplay and D&D, I also do art and comics. I do have the beginning of a webtoon out on Webtoon. It's in Webtoon Canvas. It's called Faye, just F.E.A. There's only the prologue out because I procrastinate.
Speaking of prologues and procrastinating, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Now, the camera pans over the city of Abaddon, passing over building tops and roadways. As we pass by all this city structure, we eventually open up on Dwell Harbor, the city's primary ocean way, a cacophonous network of stilted docks and buildings escape the shoreline of the city, building themselves out onto the ocean proper, trying to grasp for any additional land that the city can claim as their own. The camera dives deep into the ocean, past this dockwork, passing by the cliffside reef of Wavebreak Ridge, a small undersea community of natural cave systems and some manufactured caves where ocean dwellers and sea creatures make their home in this strange city. But further on beyond that, past the outskirts of the city, in the ocean proper, is where we find another interesting sight. The forgotten skeleton of a once proud ship lies motionless on the floor of the ocean. The hull has been eroded and decayed. Multiple large holes have been formed over the years. Coral has begun to make its own home on the side of this ship, partially obscuring the long-forgotten name. The ship once called the Unfathomed Depths, but that name has been corroded, covered, and now the only letters that remain are H-O-M-E. On the interior of this skeletal vessel is an individual, sort of busying themselves with their own thought process, their own preparations and planning, having just returned from a recent salvage. Leah, would you like to introduce what your character looks like?
So Cetacea is a light blue sea elf with long purple teal hair beginning at the roots is like a deep purple, up in a high ponytail with multiple bunches of ponytails going down into five sections, with the midsection of her hair as a deep turquoise, and then the ends of her hair fades back into purple. Her light teal skin has deep purple subtle spots and markings along her shoulders and back, and she's got golden markings that are tattoos going across her face and shoulders and upper back. and the ears that are usually for elves would be long and pointed now have a little bit of a webbed appearance to them, and her webbed fingers complement them as well, both being a bit more of a peachy color. She's going to be swimming through the shipwreck here and be gathering up the last of her scavenging here, and turn around and whistle over to Akaitza, her sea drake that's still very young, who's just going to swim up. And as it swims up, she's going to wave her hand like this and do like this around in a circle. And Akaitza's just going to spin into a little roll there. And then she's going to pet it really quick and then tie the bag, the little satchel around her shoulders.
As Akaitza heartily takes on the task of carrying your found goods, this small vessel, what once was a childhood escape or a clubhouse to you, has in recent years become more of a headquarters or a stopping point before going out and exploring or doing your job of collecting some scavenged goods. Now, for the first time in a very long time, you are slated to be on time. However, there was a new ravine you wanted to check out. So I'm going to leave the question up to Tay. Would she go back to the store and be on time for once? Or is this ravine possibly more interesting right now?
She's gonna, about how deep into the ocean are we? Can I see some of the light cascading through the ocean?
At this point, you can actually... Good Lord. Oh, it's stormy above. As you look upwards towards the surface, you are close enough to see the daylight overhead. It's not permeating all the way to the bottom of the ocean here, but it is close enough to the surface where you can see it is still day. You can see the occasional shadow of a ship just very slowly making its voyage out to sea from Dwell Harbor. And yeah, you can still make out part of the surface.
Okay. She's going to look up at the light and kind of look over at her drake companion Akaitza and just think it'll be okay. We probably have a little bit of time to go check out that, you know, new little reef that we're thinking about, right? And Kaitza's gonna look at her and just huff a little bit of bubbles, and she's like, it'll be fine. We haven't even started yet. It's not even time to open. And she's gonna go check out that that other location.
Okay. As you make your way out from this ship towards the slightly to the south. Of where you currently are, there's a large divot that becomes a slow growing ravine that dips down into the seabed here, stretching on for what could be thousands of feet, if not miles. You're not exactly sure, but you have the basis of a little area to explore starting now. Go ahead and make me a survival check or an investigation check, depending on what you'd like to do. Are you surveying the area, or are you looking for like specific points of interest?
Survival or...
Yeah, survival would be trying to get a lay of this area and like pick out larger details. Investigation would be like looking for specific smaller details in the area.
I'm going to roll for investigation.
Nice.
That is a 17.
17 is not bad.
And she's going to be swimming alongside her drake, as the drake is obviously not happy to be coming along. And she's just going to, it's okay if we can just find one, you know, just a moneymaker item, then it'll be worth it. It'll be worth the delay.
There is a exasperated sort of growl, but they know that their words are kind of lost on you right now. When you're in this state, there's... an interesting scattering of debris from vessels that have long since been swept out to the deeper ocean, but have once laid here as their sort of last respite of where they lay after they sunk. Amongst this debris, these broken masts that you see sort of shadows of off in the distance, and some what once might have been crates that have been broken and sort of scattered to the side, you actually notice a humanoid shape amongst them. the upper part of a skeletal torso dressed in these sailor's clothes that have faded long ago.
I'm gonna swim up to it and kind of swim around. And you said its upper torso is protruding out of the box, or
it looks like this crate probably landed on whatever person was unfortunate enough to fall off the ship, and they were unable to get back to the surface. But as you sort of drift around them, the sunlight just barely peeking through the surface of the water, reaching this low, glints off of something within the torso or possibly the clothes of this figure.
Okay. I'm gonna actually use my first spell, and I'm gonna Mage Hand to reach into the, to start looting onto the body of the skeleton. As one hand is doing that, I'm also going to take a peek into the crate as well.
Okay. What does your mage hand look like?
It'll probably be probably a webbed hand as well, also with some claws. But I'm going to say it's purple, actually. It like floats around like this, almost like it turns almost
it's got
fish-like.
A tail like a fish. It looks like Dory from Finding Nemo, but it's purple.
Yeah, sort of kind of just... And just does like this, almost like a, and the webbed fingers almost look like a small little octopus enveloping.
That's perfect. Okay. Your mage hand reaches in and begins shifting through this, this individual's pockets. As you begin looking through the crates, you notice that this was probably once a fine material being shipped out across the sea, maybe in some sort of trade, long ago. These would have been elegant fabrics or some sort of practical textile, but have been lost to the ocean's unforgiving brininess, let's say. But your mage hand is a bit more successful, as clattering out of this individual's pockets and through their rib cage into your hand, your mage hand, your octopus, is a brass circular metallic object. Now, you're an explorer yourself. That looks like a compass.
Oh, I'm going to pull the hand closer to me and have it drop the little compass into my hand. I want to take a look at it and see if it still works and if there's any engraving or anything on it.
As it lands in your hand, you notice that it is one of those compasses that opens, almost like a locket. And opening it, you can see that the inner workings of it are miraculously pristinely kept. It does orient itself towards the north as you open it up and get your bearings. It does still seem to be functioning. The outside is a bit dirty and algae encrusted, but with a good polishing, this might fetch a good price.
All right, she's gonna close it up and turn around and stick it in the satchel of the around her Drake's neck, and she's gonna probably go ahead and like start closing up this fabric if it's not usable. And she's probably gonna do one more final sweep as well, just to make sure. She's like, man, I was hoping there'd be a weapon.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Okay. Let me see. Ooh, that's a nat 20 with a plus 6.
Natural 20. All right. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. But this is the second prologue we've done, and the second roll of both of those prologues were natural 20s. I'm pretty sure. So this is bullshit. I'm calling hacks.
I'm gonna put the energy out there. It's gonna be a thing for everybody.
I hope not. So as you survey the long-sitting debris in this ravine, there's a few impatient grunts from your Drake as you go further and further. And just a little bit further than you were expecting. But obviously they follow right behind you as you come across the front half of a ship that had seemingly caused this ravine, almost like it was crashing and broke the rocks in a straight line and tipped over the edge of one of these cliffs.
I'm going to look back at Kaitsa and be like, just 5 more minutes and just swim up. And she just groans behind me.
And you both venture down towards this front half of the ship.
Bad decisions.
No, this is good. It's a natural 20. How could it be bad? This ship, as you're looking at it now, you get closer with a natural 20. This ship is very old. It might even be older than you. This might be something your mom was involved with at some time.
Ooh.
And with that, I think you don't even know what time it is anymore. As you disappear into the bowels of this ship.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to let that natural 20 carry you forward because that's really cool. There are a lot of broken pieces of this ship that you're not a weak person. You are able to move a good number of pieces of wood, and with the help of your Drake companion, it's pretty easy to clear at least a pathway where you need to squeeze through into the interior sections. And the front half of this ship seems to be a storage unit of some kind, where a lot of the cargo on board was stored and then apparently dipped forward and all collected in this large pile as it fell. As you're peering through all of this stuff, there are numerous armaments. Some of them have long rusted, but some seemingly still maintain some sort of metallic sheen. You see a strapped breastplate of connected leather straps holding these plates in place. That seems to be pretty well worn, but not rusted, not destroyed. You also see these racks of sabers, that three of which are not tarnished, but there are some weapons and armaments here. Do you want to dig a little deeper?
Yeah, and I also want to see if I can recognize if there's any like emblems or anything on any of the armor or anything that might like point out like either date it or show the location, because I'm probably gonna be looking for like, you know, the money, like what would sell, you know, beyond it being old, gotcha. You know, but like
I will say, go ahead and roll me an investigation check with advantage for your natural 20.
Oh, thank God for that advantage. That was an 8. Okay, cool. 19.
Damn it. That's so high. You pull a piece of this leather armor out, and it seems to be stuck on a piece of debris. And as you free it, the debris collapses to the side, almost giving way under the weight of your moving it, which it hasn't moved in, you can only surmise, thousands of years. As that clears away, you do notice a very small locked box just pushed up under the debris, barely even recognizable to most, but you swear you see what looks like a lock. And that always screams value in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Is it in a place where I can grab it and pull it out towards me?
It seems small enough to where you could probably work it out of this collapsed debris.
I'm going to go ahead and try to work it on out and get it out to where I can look at the lock and see if it needs a key, if it's something that could be lockpicked, or even if there's some hinges that could be busted.
As you pull it out, I'm not going to have you roll, there's very clearly an ornate lock that is built into this filigreed, like silver metal chest that as you clear away some of the overgrowth and algae that's accumulated here, there's just this pristine sheen on this metal. It almost looks like age hasn't touched this thing.
This might be a bad idea. I want to give it a little bit of shake.
Oh, it dies. So you shake it. There is clearly something moving around inside. There's not a lot of empty space on the interior, but you do hear something shifting.
I'm going to try to give it a pry, see if I can get it open.
Nah, not even a little bit. No movement.
I'm going to look at it and I'm going to start trying to look around, see if I could find possibly a key, maybe stored in like either one of the leather armors or, you know, maybe that had fallen under something up underneath around that area.
Okay. Give me one last investigation check. This one's for all the monies.
Oh no, it's an 8.
What's that?
It's an 8.
It's an 8, you say? That's my lucky number. Is that the total? 8?
Yes.
Okay. You're lucky to have found this box trying to look for a needle in this haystack might prove impossible at some point. You're not even sure if the key is still here. Something that small may have fallen out one of the holes in the hull.
It could be buried disappeared. In the sand.
It could be whisked away by a current and 100 miles away by this point. You're not sure. But unfortunately, you do not find the key.
I'm going to still stuff it in the bag and be like, I can always come back and look around more for that key. So this one is going to be my little secret treasure that I'm not going to quite give away yet. It's going to be mine.
You're going to keep the chest?
Yes. Don't ask it like that. Oh, no.
Okay. Hey, you can make whatever decision you want. I'm just interested.
Going back, fuck it. Okay, I've already said it. I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
I'm also gonna just go ahead and grab up a couple of the shinier weapons, and just gather as much as I could carry. I'm not sure how many that would be, just so that I can like have a because I've already got the bag is pretty much full by this point, so I'm just gonna have a handful of these weapons to swim up back up with, and I'm just gonna gather them up. I don't know how many.
there's three pristine weapons you can wrap up and carry.
All right, then I'm gonna get all three if it doesn't be too heavy for me. But
yeah,
and then I'm gonna turn to the to Kaitza and be like, all right, we can always come back. I think I've delayed enough here. And I'm just like buzzing with the new excitement that I found a new place that I can come back and explore on my next day off. Even though this wasn't a day off, it was
You are on the clock.
And I'm going to turn and kind of like grab onto one of her, I picture her having like some fins sticking out from the side and just like kind of go with her in that current really quick just to get back out of the ship and start making our way back.
Okay. The two of you swim up together, almost like a practice dance you two have come to know, just sort of flowing like the currents themselves together as you make your way back up towards the city proper. Where are you taking your ill-gotten gains?
I hope I don't regret that chest.
Probably fine.
Probably.
It's probably fine. I don't know. We'll figure that out together. So where are you taking all this stuff?
I'm going to go ahead and get back up to the water surface and start squeezing out some of the bag and just throw it up over my shoulder and pet her really quick, and we're just gonna start going back up to the city. She's gonna probably like, you know, give me a good shove, and I'm like, I'm not that late. It's okay. Like, I've known this guy forever.
You make your way back up to the Seastone Terrace. There's one large sort of plateau rock that just slightly emerges or submerges beyond the water's surface, depending on how high the tide is at that time. Currently, this early in the day, the tide is a little lower, which reveals this very evenly keeled surface that a lot of these stilted buildings are built around in this sort of makeshift plaza out on this dock network. The water sinking below the edge of this rock does make it walkable. You do see people walking to and fro on it quite regularly. But another thing it does is it creates these small little tide pools that you see a lot of the children in this area culminating around, seeing if they can find interesting critters or seashells or just splashing around in as their parents go from store to store, finding whatever they need for the week. You, however, make your way to Overboard Oddities, a delightful little knick-knack that specializes in retrieving lost items from the bottom of the seafloor, giving them a good polish, and selling them to interested collectors or people who just want some fancy trinkets. The store is not very busy right now, at this time of day specifically. Usually once the tide gets higher, people tend to leave the stone and go towards the stores for shopping. As such, currently you see your friend sitting on this tiny makeshift porch that just barely lifts off from the walkway, sitting there reading a paper with a pipe in mouth and just enjoying the morning.
Does he look like he's like waiting for me?
He looks like he's waiting for anything.
Really. Okay. All right. Because I was totally going to sneak back. But since he's sitting out there.
You can still try. You might be able to get in.
Okay. I'm gonna start trying to like keep all the clanging metal together and just try to like sneak back around to like where I usually climb out my window. And just
Go ahead and make a stealth check with disadvantage.
I don't even care if this one passes. Oh no, that's 18.
18? That's actually pretty good. You are able to wait for a passing crowd to distract with some noise as you make your way around the outside of the building to try and find your little escape hatch to get back inside with, to try and somehow fool them as if they don't know what you've been doing for the past few hours.
I'm gonna get back in and just just bundle up. I'm gonna remove the chest from the bag that I got, and I'm gonna stuff it up under my bed for now. And okay. I'm just gonna take the everything back together and just walk on down. Like, oh, I totally forgot to give this to you last night, and I slept in pretty late this morning. Why didn't you wake me up, man? It's totally late.
The paper sort of folds in half, like still holding it in front of him. You see the top of it sort of fold over, so you're seeing this dude's face as a very weathered and aged face of someone who long ago may have been a sailor or some sort of dock hand, but that leathered texture of a sun-bleached skin with age has just gotten a little tired. And just sort of looks at you and says, "Morning, Tay. Please tell me that this little venture of yours has at least been fruitful."
Okay, yeah, so I found these really cool weapons. They're still very clean and polished, but I think they're older than me. They might have been, can you date them? Can you see if they might have been involved with, like, my mom's war? And she's just gonna be super, like, buzzy about it.
He gets about every third word you say and is just sort of looking over the objects in your hand. Says, all right, we can take a look at them. Come on, bring them into the back.
And she's gonna grab the bag and, like, and I also found a couple of these things from the normal reef that I usually visit, but I just had to check out that new one I was telling you about, because just after that storm blew in and I could, and like it cleared away from some of that debris, I had to go check it out.
Let's see what we found first. Then we'll figure out how good it is. You both go towards his little workshop where he works on applying acids and special chemicals to polish up the metals, get them looking restored and pristine as best he can. Not necessarily an artificer, but somebody who knows their way around chemicals and metalwork. Gestures for you to lay them out on the table and begins inspecting them. After a certain period of time, maybe like 5 to 10 minutes,
she's gonna be leaning over one, like very close, almost in the way.
Definitely in his light, and he keeps having to like look up, adjust the sword to like a different area where the sunlight's coming through a little better, and it keeps going back and forth as you move to adjust your view. After 5 minutes, he's sort of holding it over in his hand. He's gotten enough of the algae and stuff cleaned away where he can actually look at the metal, and he looks at it and says, this is pretty old. You said you found this in the new ravine you were talking about?
I did. It was this really old ship. It was just the front half, though. It looked like it was much older than me. It was, wow. I can't remember, but it was just the front half, and there was just a lot of weapons there. This was all that I could carry, but beyond that, most of the others had rusted by this point, so. But I got, you know, I always bring you the best stuff.
Oh, I can always rely on you to show up 20 minutes late. And he just sort of like holds the sword.
Only
checking
20 minutes this time. It's not like, you know, first day.
First day. I didn't think you were coming back. Well, if you can get back there, find anything else. You might have just struck gold.
See? I'm worth my paycheck.
You've definitely earned your room. And he will also slide a little satchel, which you would know is your sort of take for the last few jobs you've been on, but he still needs time to review how much this one will bring into the store.
She's gonna take that and stuff it away, and then just like casually start wringing out her hair in the middle of the shop.
Yeah, just
he's used to it. just wring out, like, so do you have any lock picking kits by chance? She just, like, rings out the remaining of her ponytail.
There's a pause as he very gingerly puts down the sword he's working on, steeples his hands, goes, "Why on earth would you need lock-picking tools? That's a mystery. I don't, because I'm not a criminal. So, I'm sorry I can't help you with whatever that is. I actually don't want to know. You can keep that one to yourself.
It's just a door on the ship I found.
Is it stuck?
It's stuck, yeah. It's just, I think there's a hidden lock, possibly. A crowbar.
Well, those hundreds of year old ocean-soaked doors are really stuck in place, aren't they? The locks are probably still really solid on them, huh?
Yeah, I mean, she's going to lean over and just rest on Akaitza's head and be like, and Akaitza over here was just struggling. She couldn't do it. And she's just going to bump me off of her. Just, give me a little growl. Yeah.
Okay. He's like, Right. Well, I wish you best of luck with the door. I don't exactly know where you might be able to find one of those, but break it down if you have to. I'm curious to see what you find on the other side of it. And we'll sort of, at this point, have finished polishing off one of the blades pretty much completely, at least the full blade. Hasn't really worked on the handle yet. And holds it up and he says, this is actually pretty amazing craftsmanship. And he sort of holds it over in his hand, and you can see there's still a razor edge on this blade. And it's got this weird sort of aesthetic to the handle right now, because it's got these twisting metal designs, but inlaced with these very interesting corals and seaweeds that have sort of compacted over time and left this very haunting visage of the sea.
And it's a short sword, or
It would be like a scimitar, basically.
I'm gonna reach out and. Would he allow me to hold a sword around him?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I'd be like, oh, let me see.
I think he knows you are trained enough with weapons that he would never doubt you with a blade.
Okay. Let me see. And I'm going to pick it up, and I kind of want to swing it around a little bit and just, point it out to see how it flows and everything. I'm totally contemplating on keeping it.
Do you say that?
Yes.
Okay. As you swirl it around, he does sort of take a step back from his desk and stand on the corner of the room as you there's not enough space to be doing what you're doing with two people in the room, but he gives you space to do it.
In a small little antique shop, with all the expensive, fragile things.
He just sort of puts his hands up jokingly and says, probably shouldn't have given you that thing. It's going to be impossible to take it back. The balance on the weapon is almost perfect. Maybe a little bit of work needs to be done to shave off a little bit of the metal from the blade, but it feels like a new forged blade.
Am I proficient with scimitars? Can I keep it? I'm proficient with martial weapons and simple weapons. Does that count?
I believe it's one of those, because those are both the types of weapons in the game. So you probably are proficient with it. And I believe scimitars are finesse weapons, which you can use your dex for.
I'm going to be looking at it and be like,
Oh, God.
Instead of having three, you could sell two and make sure to sell it as a set. And then it makes you more money. So I could, do you a favor and take this one off your hands, and this could be a bit of my cut for today. And she's going to swing it around
Go ahead and make a persuasion check. I'm going to give you advantage just because you guys are good friends.
Okay, good, because I'm negative and...
That's gonna be fun.
Oh, no. It was a six. That was my highest, was a six.
He looks at you sort of fawning over this blade, and he knows the hidden intent behind it, where he can almost see that he's sold the blade to you already without having to try.
Is he gonna charge me for it?
He looks back down at the little satchel he put on the table, and he just sort of scoops it and goes, you know what, keep the sword. He puts the money away.
She's just not even going to be paying attention when I'm just going to keep swinging it around
as you don't notice. He just sort of winks at your Drake.
It's probably just
You now have that blade. You can put a scimitar in your inventory if you'd like to. I have to change the art immediately in the first session.
No, she'll be sticking with long range, but it doesn't hurt to have a little extra thing, especially if it looks cool. She's all about looking, the part of a hero.
The aesthetic is pretty on point.
Yeah.
You've done your job for the day. You are free to travel about the city, do what you would like? Is there anything you would like to do other than dive back into the ocean and go look at that ship?
No, she's gonna come back out, and she's like grudgingly now thinking about the application she still has to submit. I would assume actually it's gonna be her Drake comes from her room with the like form that she had to fill out in its mouth and just let's go, and she's gonna snatch it and be like, I'll be back, and waves it Boyo over there.
Boyo?
She calls him boy or kid, you know.
Gotcha.
But she's gonna be like walking and like roll it up and stick it in her bag and just, I mean, we can get some lunch first too. She's gonna rub on her Drake. Like, oh, come on, I'll get you a swordfish.
The ears perk up, or the fins sort of like frill out.
So I'm probably gonna procrastinate walking through the city a little bit as I make my way, because I'm trying to like get a little bit further away from the docks, because after the humiliation of my first application being rejected at the Bay Bastions, she's gonna try to like make her way as far into the city as possible so that they don't see that she has to try again elsewhere.
There are a few just sporadic guards, not necessarily bastions, as that is a different elevation of just the city guards, but you do notice one or two of them uniformed, standing out from the crowd, off to your peripheral, not directly in your path as you skirt around them intentionally. Go ahead and make a survival check for me.
Okay. I probably should have gone with a different dice. Wait, no, actually. Oh, I got an 18.
That one's pretty good. All right.
The dice is back.
Damn it. Get that dice out of here. The immediate district to the west of Dwell Harbor is Champion's Row, as it is one of the main thoroughfares through that part of the city towards the Lattice Square, the epicenter of shopping, commerce, trade in the entire city. But Champion's Row is not the worst place in the city. It is definitely known to be rowdier, more excitable, a little bit too loud for some people's liking. That is up to you how you feel about that. But it is outside of the district known to be home to, you know, very aggressive individuals, pit fighters, gladiators. It's where a lot of the adventures of the city tend to gravitate towards because of its chaotic, slightly violent nature, or at least its notoriety is that it's a very violent place. At a certain point, you find yourself sort of wandering through the main thoroughfare, the massive road that just cuts through this part of the city that gives name to Champion's Row. To one end, you can see off in the distance the Lattice Square sort of glistening as it tends to do, these colorful shops and marketplaces. And in the other direction, built into the wall of one of these, or the side of the mountain that surrounds the city, you can see emerging the large arena Colosseum, the half circle of it emerging from the side of the mountain, the Court of Steel.
Is there a cheering going on from the Colosseum?
Currently there is no cheers. There is no active tournament today, but there is hustle and bustle. There are individuals all over the thoroughfare. Some of them appear to be trying on different sets of armor, doing the same thing you were in that shop, practicing with weapons, trying to make a purchase. You see a few individuals just sort of like sizing each other up, almost like there will be a brawl in about 5 minutes if you wait long enough.
She's gonna like rub at her ears like obnoxiously and like very loudly, like, oh, these guys won't shut up. And like, because she knows that this place is pretty rowdy, she like makes sure to stay, you know, keep her Drake Akaitso with her, because she doesn't like having people bump into her as people normally would. So with her Drake with her, it kind of like parts where people kind of go around a little bit as she walks along with her Drake. She's like, man, you know, it's almost like she's kind of like bragging that nobody will pick at her and like try to start anything with her. It's like, man, these loud-ass people. It's like they never taught any better. No fucking manners.
You just hear off in the distance, hey, what do you say about me?
But she's just going to, like, pat her pat a kite and be like, let's go, girl. We're way too good for this place. And just, like, just keep going towards the end.
As you walk away, you just hear, "Are you thinking better than me?" As you completely just ignore this individual.
Yeah.
As you are sort of turning off the main thoroughfare and circling back towards what would be the ocean, the Dwell Harbor, there's a moment where you hear a commotion, like a knocking over of kitchen pans or some sort of metallic dishware in one of the buildings to your left. And immediately your Drake's hackles just sort of go up, almost instinctually, like they were caught off guard but ready for whatever this noise is. And immediately you see this individual sort of scamper out, like almost falling onto the ground, and just get up and start running. Kill him.
I'm gonna try to, like, catch him really quick, be like, "Hey, what just happened?" And just, like, explain the situation.
Okay, go ahead and make me a... this will actually be an athletics check, but it's opposed because you're trying to grab somebody.
13?
This individual tries to run past you, and you almost just stick your arm out and clothesline them as you pull them in and immediately just, like, hold them there and go ahead and ask your questions.
Explain to me what's going on, quickly.
I realized I was late for a business meeting. Yeah. I got a call. I gotta be at my house for it.
She's just gonna tighten her arm really quick and be like, "Quickly."
And at this point, you see an individual sort of scamper out of the store. It's like, "You see?"
Oh.
That's just gonna go.
I'm just gonna be holding on to him like, "This guy?"
Yeah. That's the guy.
What'd you steal, man?
And he sort of, like, turns out his pockets, and you can just see, like, these bits of jewelry, just sort of, like, not nice stuff, but good enough to probably be sold for a little bit of profit, just fall onto the dirt at his feet.
Do they have, like, guards or security or anything at this particular shop?
Not this individual shop, no. There are guards in the district, but there's not, like, any standing outside this building.
Okay. I'm gonna just... even though this is probably, like, not good for the jewelry, I'm just gonna kick the jewelry on over to them and be like, "It's your lucky day. Yours too. I was just on my way to the police station." To the Bastions.
They sort of look down at the jewelry you kick towards them and they just go, "Oh, geez, real lucky. Thanks." Pick it up out of the dirt and just sort of, like, polish it off.
She's gonna be walking with a lot more, like, posture now and just, like, is there a way I can go ahead and tie him up really quick? Just, like...
Yeah, I think you already surpassed this guy's athletic check by quite a bit. So you can kind of just, like, manhandle this dude, get him tied up, at least his arms behind his back or in front of him if you want.
That was cool.
That was really great. This whole chase thing planned out. You sort of just fucked it right up. That's awesome. I love it.
She's just going to either... I could scare him by tossing him over the drake, but I think that since we're above water now and she's not level enough to where she can be a mount, I'm just going to toss him over my shoulder. I got decent enough strength, yeah.
Sounds good.
And just carry him right up to the bastions. This is, and she's going to be a little cocky now, like, perfect introduction.
Like a gift-wrapped invitation. You carry this individual straight over towards the nearest bastion headquarters. There are a few guards standing out front of this building where you can clearly see keeping watch. And as you approach with this man tied up and over your shoulder, there is an immediate attention given to that situation.
She's going to walk right into the building and just, like, flop him down on his ass and be like, "I've come to apply and I'm already a good paycheck ahead."
"Oh, I wasn't doing nothing."
As the guy on the floor just lays there in pain with the wind knocked out of him. And a few of the individuals sort of sitting around what appears to be their, like, waiting room, almost. A number of guards further into the building sort of peek their head around the corner and see this situation as one or two of the individuals who are sitting in that room actually, like, get up and go, "Okay," and just walk out of the building.
How many people quit on the first day before they even applied?
You do see a number of these people are holding the same page you've yet to fill out. A few of them look like they're filling out reports of what happened to them in some previous case that they're here to report. But there are a few applicants that you can sort of pick out at a glance, and you just sort of stand a little taller knowing that competition is nearby. After a certain minute or so of you sitting there with your foot sort of on this guy's chest and no one really stopping you, just sort of trying to get a read on the situation, one of the guards comes back with an individual, this sort of tall, half-orcish man with these sort of like sideburns, no full beard or mustache, just the hair on the side sort of groomed into a point. This gruff, like wide-set square chin and a cigar in his mouth. He sort of looks over out, pulls the cigar and says, "What exactly is going on here?"
I'm gonna pat Akaitza to give her the cue to like put her head down and like intimidate the guy to make sure he doesn't run. Gonna walk up kind of proud and just lift the papers, like, came to fill out my application and went ahead and got a little ahead on my job. Like, not elaborating, just as if everybody's supposed to know what she just did.
Doesn't even ask, just sort of looks past you at the guy, and he's like, "I swear I didn't do it." And as soon as he says that, the guy just growls at him. He's like, "It was me. I did it. I'm so sorry." The half-orc sort of flicks the ash off his cigar, looks over at one of the guns, says, "Put those on top of the pile." Puts the cigar back into his mouth and disappears back into whatever office or room he was previously in. And just sort of leaves the situation up to you, really, in this weird sort of dynamic shift that none of them seem to understand.
Did he tell me or the guard to...
He told the guards to, when you're done filling out your application, put it on top of the pile.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to look over and be like, I thought I'd just skip to the interview.
Oh, the guard's like, I there's no precedent for this, ma'am. I'm so sorry. I don't know.
She's going to, you should be sorry. And just start filling it out.
I am. You've been given some sort of respect that they don't seem to earn from that person. So they're just sort of treating you like something happened here that you're not quite 100% aware of.
I'm going to roll with it. Like, this is to her, this is like deserved. So,
yeah, this is how things are supposed to be, obviously.
Yeah, this is how it's supposed to go. This is exactly how she pictured it in her head.
You fill out the application, leave it there with them. Mm-hmm. You see them put it right on top of the pile. In fact, they put it off to the side just in case others come in. They can just leave it on top. What do you do after that? Are you just going to leave this guy with them and take off? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of just like drag him by the back of the shirt really quick to stand up and be like, where does he need to go? Like, as if she's going to just put him away herself. Like, she already works there.
I think at this point, after you've sat there and sort of like talked through your own application out loud, sort of in front of these people, they've got your vibe. And one of them sort of approaches you and says, no need to bother yourself with that. We can take care of it for you. I'm sure you have more important things to do.
Oh, ain't that right? And she's just gonna like shove him over there.
They sort of like catch him.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, thank you very much for your work.
She's gonna like bask in like the little thank you. She doesn't, you know, you don't normally get that as like, you know, a Marine, as a guard, you know, yeah. It's like guard duty, you know, so she just, you're quite welcome.
And they shuffle this guy off into the back room to even figure out what he did before they lock him away. But he did confess to it, so, you know, they got that on file.
Yeah, so you're just going to turn around to Petter Drake and be like, all right, girl. She's going to look at her Drake like, look, I didn't procrastinate. Are you proud of me? But like now she's a little cocky about it.
For you, you can recognize this creature's expressions better than anyone else because you've spent so much time together and there's almost like a connection. You get a very much like, that's not the way this should have happened stare from your Drake.
I'm just going to like put my arm around her and just like, all right, girl, let's go. Let's go get you that swordfish.
And I forget all about this immediately. And you walk out of the Bastion's hall. Now, we are going to fast forward a day or two. You're still waiting to hear back from the Bastions. You've gone on a few more expeditions. You've been back to that ship once or twice. Still no sign of a key. A few trinkets here and there, like a medallion that doesn't really have any iconography on it, but looks very pricey in the right collector's edition. There's no more payment because you did just buy the sword. So that's a bit on hold for now. One of the mornings you come down in that next week, there is a letter waiting for you that Weller, we'll say his name finally, Weller, old boy Weller, just sort of leaves alongside your morning breakfast that he sort of preps and leaves out for you because he knows you're a little later to rise in the morning.
Okay, so she's going to turn and... Oh, and just like reach for it and like go ahead and start opening it. And her drake's probably just gonna like raise its head from honestly with a sea drake, I don't think it would be like obby and fit in the bed with me. So it's probably gonna be like off in its own bed on the floor.
I refuse to allow it to fit in that bed with you, especially here with the tiny bed you have. A drake would take up the bed.
Yeah. So she's probably gonna raise her head from across the room and like approach. And she's gonna like probably to like presumptuously give comfort.
Mm-hmm. Just like console about you're about to get rejected again.
Yeah, but she's gonna open up and start reading. Reading aloud for her drake as well.
You receive a letter that says, Cetacea Elros, you have been invited to apply for the role of Bastion. Your introduction exam will take place at the Lucky Hair Tavern 3 days from today.
She's gonna look over at at Ikaita and be like, I already did my introduction. Like, was that not enough of an introduction? Like, I went ahead and like got, I did their job for them, you know, and I don't even work for them. I didn't even get paid for that. What kind of introduction do I, whatever. And she's gonna put it down and be like, I'm in.
You say that out loud to the envelope?
Yeah. I'm in, whatever.
There is no return address or you don't get the sense that you're supposed to reply physically. You're just supposed to be expected to show up. The Lucky Hair Tavern is one of the taverns you passed on your walkabout before you apprehended that criminal. Probably not more than a 10-minute walk past where you found that person. That test is slated to start on the first day of the following week at noon. I don't know if I mentioned that in the letter, but it is at noon. Midday. But until then, I believe we are okay to close this little prologue scene with Cetacea preparing, readying themselves to be evaluated. Gross. How dare they?
How dare they? Like, I didn't already do my evaluation. Like, I already didn't knock their socks off.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I'll pass, but you guys should know better.
Yeah.